This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. You know, this morning I was just reading in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and those verses that we think of as the theme verses for Christian homeschoolers about teaching your children as you rise up and as you walk in the way and all of those things that we say, boy, that constant teaching, particularly centered on God's Word, that's something that the homeschoolers understand and that's what we're trying to replicate. And it's understandable when people get that vision, even when their children are very young or even before they have children. They want to get started. They don't want to wait around. You know, that's...
I felt the same way.
Well, we decided to homeschool before we had children.
Couldn't wait. Yeah, I was excited.
We were looking forward to it. And so...
And yeah, and there's a lot of pressure in our society to get kids started early. But, you know, really, truthfully, we all are homeschooling from the very beginning, Hal. As soon as you have a baby, you're teaching it how to nurse.
Okay.
You know, and then... You teach your child about love and care. You teach them how to sit, how to crawl, how to walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're really all families are homeschooling from the beginning. It's just that later, some families decide to let other people take over.
Well, I think, what you're saying there, I think it's an important point that so many of the important things that we have to learn in life are not what you would call academic subjects.
Right.
That there's a lot of things that the social development, the spiritual development, a lot of things which are, you know, they're not the kind of thing you'd sit down with a textbook and give your child a pop quiz, especially if they're not old enough to hold a crayon yet.
Right.
And so, where do we go from here?
Well, you know, there's always that question, when do I start academics?
Mm-hmm.
When should I get my child learning? And, you know, from what we hear in the society, you know, I read the other day that, you know, many schools are expecting kids to start reading in kindergarten. And that's putting a lot of pressure on homeschool families. Do you need to do that?
In kindergarten.
You know, they're asking, do we need to do that? Mm-hmm. When should I start teaching math? How do I even get started? What do I do? You know, I think first...
Mm-hmm.
It's important to recognize that the things that you naturally do with preschoolers are very important to their future academic success.
They are developmental steps.
They really are the developmental steps. And that, you know, really the foundation for your future academic success is laid in those toddler and preschool years.
Okay.
You know, like, for example,
yeah.
you know, when you teach your child obedience, you know, if they won't come when you call... When you call them when they're 3 or 4, are they going to listen when you tell them to do their algebra when they're 14?
Well, I hope they do, but
you know,
I mean,
you're setting a pattern. You're teaching them obedience. You're teaching them reverence when they sit with you in church.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you're teaching them patience and self-control when you're nursing the baby and you have to say, wait just a minute, I'll get you something to drink in a minute.
Well, you're bringing up an important point there that, so much of what we need to learn as developing human beings is not an academic subject. And and those are critically important things. And those are the things which are taught earliest. I mean, the basic parts of it.
Those character issues that we teach them early are really the foundation. You know, when we teach them, you know, when we teach them that there's someone that loves them and cares for them,
mm-hmm.
and then we begin teaching them about God, who they can't see, but who loves and cares for them even more than mommy and daddy.
Right.
You know, those things are foundational, and they're foundational for future academic success.
Okay.
And that's super important to remember because it's easy to take those things lightly and think you're not really doing important things. But that discipleship, that early discipleship is important. You know, that's mm-hmm. why we say the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
Well, and I should say here that doesn't end.
No.
You know, because I remember one point very, very clearly where I was having to be Solomon and rule over some sort of dispute between the children and thinking, I thought we were done. I thought that we would like get past this kind of thing. And then I realized, you know what? The character development, the character training, the spiritual training continues on throughout your lives, throughout your relationship. And even, you know, it modifies, but it, there's an element of that even when they're grown. And,
well, you know, we're grown. We have grown children.
Yeah.
But we were sitting here as iron sharpens iron with my mother the other day.
Right.
Talking about the balance between theology and evangelism. And, you know, I thought that was a very iron sharpening iron conversation.
Well, certainly.
And we're all old enough to join AARP.
Wow. Yeah. You so the point being, those things are important and you don't rush through them and finish them up and say, well, good, I'm glad we accomplished that. It's not like potty training.
No, instead it's, and boy, I tell you what, potty training is harder than any academic thing you'll teach your child. If you can teach your child to potty train, don't worry about homeschooling.
Okay.
Anyway, and we all do somehow.
Mm. Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, but this is that foundational discipleship is laid when they begin to listen to your voice and you teach them things. You are preparing the way for homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're thinking, oh, when can I get to the academics? There's a lot of things to do before you get to academics that are really important.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of them is just developing a lifestyle of learning.
You might say cultivating a curiosity about the world.
Yes.
A desire to understand, a desire to examine and to grow in knowledge, to say, oh, wow, this is really neat. I mean, look, these things here, these are called flowers. And these bumblebees help them grow. And
well, you know, I realized long ago that when I was driving to the post office with my kids, I could be talking on the phone to my friends.
Right.
Or I could be talking to my children. You know, I could be explaining the world to them. We could be talking about, you know, we could be talking about the post office. We could be talking about all kinds of things. I could teach them about that just because I'm an adult. But, you know, something that really hit me, I learned in graduate school about Maria Montessori. Now, you know, the Montessori schools are supposed to be the elite preschools.
Okay.
You know, there's one near us that's like $25,000 a year or something. It's really expensive, like a college.
Do you know that there are Montessori schools that go all the way up to 12th grade?
Really?
Yeah. I heard an ad for one yesterday.
But anyway, the Montessori schools are the elite preschools. But I was interested to learn about the story of Maria Montessori. Have you heard about that?
Okay. Tell me about it.
She was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And her job, she was in Rome. This is many, many years ago.
Okay.
Her job, she was in charge of what they called the creches, the nursery schools, the preschools, the daycares of Rome.
Okay.
And she noticed that the kids that were coming out of the daycares were not as well prepared for school as the ones that had been home with their mothers.
Interesting.
And so she wanted to create a preschool experience that would prepare kids for school as well as those who had been home with their mothers.
Okay.
So do you think the Montessori curriculum looks like? Do you think it's early academics, got to learn those phonics, memorize those math rules?
Yeah, that's it, right?
No.
No?
No. Do you know what kind of things they do?
Tell me.
They learn to sweep the floor.
Mm-hmm.
They learn to fold cloths.
Okay.
And polish silver.
So that's why if you look in a Montessori supply catalog, you've got
little miniature brooms.
Little child-sized cleaning implements.
Right. They learn how to cut sandwiches into shapes and how to button and, you know, all the things you do at home with your preschooler anyway.
Because really? Yeah.
Actually, it turns out that those things are really important for academic success.
Seriously?
Yes, seriously. Because, here, like this.
Okay.
You know what? When they learn to button, they're learning fine motor skills and fine motor coordination.
Right.
And they're learning one-to-one correspondence.
That's true. Yeah, they would.
And when they fold a cloth, they're learning, again, fine motor skills, and they're learning shapes. I take this square, I fold it, it becomes a rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
Fold it again, it becomes a square.
Mm. Okay.
And just folding washcloths. Folks, I have washcloths on the back of my couch.
Okay. All right.
Waiting to be folded.
Okay.
You know?
Great. Yes.
These are things we can do at home. They're things you would do at home anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They learn counting when you say, honey, how many place settings do we need to put at the table because grandma and grandpa are coming for dinner?
Oh, and that's beyond counting. That's simple arithmetic there.
Yeah, they learn
to say how many are in our family, and then we're going to add two grandparents. How many is that?
Right, and one-to-one correspondence. Yeah. I'm going to put out that many plates. I'm going to put out a fork for each plate. I'm going to put out a knife for each plate.
Okay.
You know, they're learning important foundational academic concepts in the easiest way to learn, which is real life.
You know, it's kind of like learning English grammar. If you've heard it correctly spoken at home,
it's no problem.
It's no problem to do it. You just don't know what to call it.
Exactly. You know,
yeah. What is an adjective? I have no idea, but I can use them.
I can use them. You know, and that's properly.
And that's, I think that's maybe that's a difference there, that when you have the educational researchers and the trained professionals and all, then they talk about one-to-one correspondence, when actually you're just teaching them to button things. It's the same thing.
And in using proper grammar, we're teaching them what adjectives are and what adverbs are and how they're used properly.
And how to get the numbers right and all the rest. Yeah. Okay.
And so all those things we just learn, mm-hmm. we do with our children because they're by our side. You know, I need to go polish my silverware. I'm going to be doing that with a young child.
Right.
You know, the things that we do because they're our normal work and everyday stuff is actually fantastically foundational. One thing is, well, like when you read them a story for nap time or bedtime.
Okay.
Reading stories is actually really an important part of learning to read. It teaches mm-hmm. them what a story sounds like. It teaches them what the written word sounds like.
Well, that's an important thing because, you know, you learn really quickly as a writer. Once you kind of get on the inside of that process, you realize that the language that's in a book is not exactly like spoken language. You mean right. the dialogue in a book, even if it's very realistic dialogue, still does not sound like a transcript of a recording of a real conversation. There's a certain style to it. There's certain right. things that are omitted. There's certain things that are cleaned up and made more correct. And yeah, when you're reading a story to them, that's what they're getting. They're getting the language of a story, the language of literature.
Also, when you read aloud to them or you mm-hmm. let them listen to an audiobook.
Okay.
They can understand a lot higher level spoken language than they're going to be able to read.
Oh, well, anybody who's learned a foreign language has gone through that.
Right. And whether yeah. you've learned a foreign language or not, try it. It's easier to understand even the Word of God hearing it in an audiobook than it is reading it in the Bible, because our brains are wired that way. And what's really cool is that when you read your child's stories, you're teaching them vocabulary and words that they're going to need to learn to read.
Okay.
For themselves. And yep. so those things that we do with our kids, the obedience, discipleship, mm-hmm. everyday work, that's important stuff. Do not short circuit that very important learning by rushing to academics.
Mm. Yeah. And I guess an analogous kind of situation is if you say that your teenager is too busy to do chores. Or too busy right. to have outside responsibilities because he needs to do more homework. Well, no, that's skipping a part of their learning and development the same way. So, yeah, I can see that.
Well, it really is. I know your mother has been a teacher for many, many years, and she talks about how, you know, that once they started having kids in the daycares where they were not with their moms at home mm-hmm. coming into her classroom, how they had to have kids practice crawling because mm. crawling is an important is actually an important developmental step in learning to read.
Yeah, okay. Learning to read.
Yes, because it develops dominance.
Okay. Like how?
Like the side of your brain that's dominant, and it mm-hmm. helps your eyes and your hands and your feet and everything work together correctly.
Ah, because in order to crawl properly, you've got to use alternate
yes.
patterns and balance yourself and do a bunch of things at once.
Well, with one of ours today, we were doing mirror writing on the board mm-hmm. to work on that eye-hand coordination and dominance.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yes.
Yeah, I came in. We've got this big whiteboard in the kitchen that we keep our chore list and all. And I came in there, and there's all these like lightning bolts all over it. And I thought, what is that? It's not even, you know, okay. Now I understand. Thank you. That's great. Okay.
And so don't be too quick to rush to the workbooks and stuff.
Yeah.
Because the things that you're doing right now in the with your preschool are the ordinary things of life. The talking about when you're going to the post office, talking about the Pony Express and airmail and postman and all those different things you might talk about, how the Word of God was originally written as letters, much of it in the New Testament. You know, as you're talking about all those things, you're giving your children the context and the basic skills they're going to need to succeed academically. We need to take a very short station break here.
Okay.
And talk about our sponsor.
We need to talk about Elephant Learning because they want to help you teach your young people math in a way that's not only fun, but memorable, because elephants never forget. All right, cool. We'll be back in just a second. Hey, this is Hal here, and wanted to take a minute to tell you about the good people at Elephant Learning. This is a math program that uses the way children naturally learn to increase their ability at learning math at an early age. They identify where your child is mathematically and what they understand and don't understand, and then they give your child a series of experiences custom tailored to their personal level for learning. They'll cover a wide range of concepts for ages 2 through 8. If your child accelerates, the program moves forward. If they need extra practice, it takes them back gently to a more appropriate level. You see, Elephant Learning wants math to be fun. It's like a game or a puzzle to engage your child, and you, the parent, can step in and play along with them. They love the interaction. Get a free math assessment by signing up for a 14-day free trial at elephantlearning.com for up to 3 children. And for our Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network listeners, if you come to elephantlearning.com/mediaangels, then you can get not only 14 days for free, you'll get a free download with an access code for 50% off. And if you like Elephant Learning and sign up for a paid subscription, they'll provide a second subscription for free to an underprivileged family. How about that? Come to elephantlearning.com/mediaangels and check out this great program for your kid.
Okay, so we're back and we're talking about teaching very young children, getting homeschooling going like real early. And
they're getting impatient because they want to know, okay, when can I buy some books and textbooks and get started? First of all.
Well, I think the books you should be buying are books like Eric Carle books that have lots of pictures.
Lots of picture books and
Dr. Seuss
story books and read-alouds. And buy books for yourself. This is the time for you to start researching what you think about learning styles and curriculum philosophies, and this is your time to really start getting into it all. Subscribe to some homeschool magazines like our friends at the Old Schoolhouse, you know. Get the stuff that you need so that you can start on your own 2 feet. But eventually it is going to be time to start some actual book learning, academic book learning.
But not as soon as they can walk.
No, but you know what? You can't really predict when that's going to be, honey.
Okay.
Because there's a wide range of developmental readiness.
Well, I think we've seen most of it. I mean, now we've got, if you have enough children, you're going to see everything. Well, we have 8 kids, and we had some that started reading when they were 4 years old. And we had others that were reading 11. Much later when they were 11. And
by the way, that child that learned to read at 11.
Yes.
Is on the dean's list at his college.
Oh, yeah, he's brilliant. He just was late getting started.
Yeah, and so don't despair if you've got one of those late ones. But you've got to adjust when they start, because some kids are going to be ready early, some are not.
Well, no, wait a minute. The school system will tell us that at 5 years old, they're supposed to have their alphabet. And because at 6 years old, they're going to be able to learn to read. And then at 7 years old, they're learning cursive.
The reason they do that, you know, developmental readiness to learn to read and to learn and to do academic schoolwork is, like most things in nature, it's on a bell curve.
Right. There's sort of an average, normal sort of pattern, but that, it can be early or it can be late.
Well, some kids will learn to read at 2, Hal, whether you teach them or not.
I have a hard time conceptualizing
that. I do too, but it's happened.
Okay.
And it's happened to people I know.
Wow.
Other kids will not learn to read till they're 13.
Okay.
And it can all be kids of normal. In fact, the ones at the extremes tend to be the really smart ones. The really, really smart ones.
It's like they're wired differently.
Early or late. They're just wired differently.
Yeah.
But the majority learn to read at 6 or 7. And that's why we typically start learning to read in first grade. And that's why the Common Core push to teach kids to learn to read in kindergarten is doomed to fail.
Well, and this is also why experienced homeschoolers will tell you, hey, we just kind of organically ended up where this same child is in fifth grade math, and he's in fourth grade science, and he's in sixth grade reading material, and and it's all good. It's all normal and natural, and that's the way our child developed.
Yeah, and so you just, you have, so how do you know if they're ready? Well, the first thing you do is you try a little bit casually in play, because if you make a big deal, we're ready, we're going to start school, here are your books, you're going to learn to read this year. What if they're not ready?
Then they get an early taste of failure.
They're going to learn, they're going to feel like failures. Instead, you want to try things naturally in the course of ordinary life, like start teaching the letters. Here's a letter A.
Yeah.
What does A say? A usually says ah.
Yeah.
And so let's look for some things that start with the ah sound.
Okay.
And we're going to draw pictures of them. We're going to put an A on them. We're going to look around. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to start learning the sounds of the letters. We're going to learn the short sounds of the vowels and pretty much all the consonant sounds before we ever start learning to read.
Okay.
You know why?
Is it the P word?
Well, yeah, it's because we're teaching with phonics, but also it's to give them some early success.
Well, sure, but I mean, these are the building blocks. I mean, literally, these are the blocks.
This is what you learn.
This is it.
And so, you know, so how do you know if they're ready to learn to read? Mm-hmm. If they are learning the sounds of the letters easily and remembering them,
that's a key.
A good sign. Yeah. Now, what if one day they know it and the next day it's like they've never seen it before?
And we've seen this a couple of times.
We sure have.
And it does not.
It can throw you. Because I thought that this child must be playing around because they knew it yesterday.
They're just not focused.
How could they not know it today?
It's a discipline issue.
That is a sign. It's not.
No, it's not.
That's a sign they are not developmentally ready to read.
Hmm.
So you want to watch for signs of readiness. Talk about numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, I bought a book of stamps. Would you put a stamp on each of these three letters?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first count how many stamps are. There's 10. Okay, you put them on three letters. How many stamps do we have left? Now, they may need to count them, but they're going to understand that concept of I had some, I took away some, there's some left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do this stuff gradually in the course of life. And as you see, they're grasping it. They're running ahead with it. They're counting as they go up and down the stairs.
Oh, well, they're so excited about it, you know, that they'll see something when you're driving around town and they say, Mama, there's a 5 on that speed limit sign.
Yes.
You know, or they'll say that word begins with a B. I can see it. Yeah. So
and so as they start showing that excitement, they're getting their feet under them, they're learning, then it's time to buy the curriculum. It's time to buy stuff and to start the formal teaching, because then they're going to be ready and they're going to love it and they're going to fly ahead. But I need to warn you, if you have a precocious child, a child who is ready extra early, because we had one of those.
Well, we had the one.
We had several, actually.
We had the one that started reading when he was 4.
And, I mean, reading long things.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if you have one of those, avoid the temptation to push them as far and fast ahead as possible.
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. And we hear this a lot of times, people asking us, what can you recommend that I can give my son to read? He's 10 years old and he's read everything in his age group. And, well, actually, he hasn't read everything in his age group. He hasn't lived that long. But the point being, you don't want to give him the young adult books when he's not emotionally ready to deal with these complex kind of situations.
Well, I think it's a pride thing. Sometimes how I think you feel like, well, my 7-year-old is reading hard chapter books.
Well, there's another thing like that. Now, see, we had one of our children, he was really precocious in math. And so we just let him run as fast and as hard as he could. And he did, he just galloped through until he was about in fifth or sixth grade level math. And he's like 2 or 3 years ahead of his age group. And we're thinking, wow, our child's a genius and we are brilliant and this is wonderful. And then everything, all the wheels fell off.
Well, he hit the pre-algebra and he wasn't developmentally ready, because you can, with very rare exceptions, generally only seen in kids on the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are not developmentally able to do abstract thinking like's required for algebra until the hormones of puberty hit.
You know what? I thought of an analogy for this. It's like you're putting up a blackboard and you've got that chalkboard paint from the home improvement place.
Yeah.
And so you're putting this slate paint up on the wall. You can't write on it until it dries.
Right.
You know, if you throw it up there and you got this, it looks black and it looks smooth and it's great. You put your chalk up there and it just makes a big smeary mess and it's no good at all.
Because it's not ready.
Because it's not cured yet. And you can't speed it up. It has to dry before you can go to that next step.
And so for kids, well, I talk to parents all the time who've got their 6 and 7 year olds reading hard chapter books and they're really proud. But the problem is they're missing things that 6 and 7 year olds need. You know, that 6 and 7 year olds need to read Frog and Toad together.
They need to read Mike Milligan and his steam shovel. They need to read about Katie and the Big Snow. They need to read Horton and his Who and all of those kind of things. Yeah.
Because they enrich their lives.
You know, that's, I forget his name now, but the, was it Ed Hirsch that had a series of books back when we were first starting homeschooling? Mm-hmm. He came out with a series of books talking about what your first grader needs to know.
Right.
What your third, because he had found as he was teaching kids, I think he was a university professor, that so many of the kids had been pushed through and skipped over a lot of things that were just part of the cultural heritage.
Yes.
They'd never heard fairy tales before. They had never heard nursery rhymes before.
And your kids need those things to be culturally literate. Mm-hmm. In fact, to be able to understand some of the more complex works that they're going to be reading in college.
Well, I tell you what, I've read some novels, and we're just talking about detective stories that were written by Oxford graduates, and they're just meant to be entertainment. But I'm reading them, and I'm thinking they're quoting Shakespeare right and left, and I have no idea where that comes from, or that phrase is phrased like a quotation, and I don't know it because I didn't get that kind of an education myself. And you know, your kids need the grounding of being a child.
Yeah.
And that's intellectual, that's emotional, that's social. You know, I read something interesting the other day. I read that Chelsea Clinton made the comment that people need to leave Barron Trump alone. He's a 10-year-old boy. Let him be a 10-year-old child. I thought that was pretty perceptive from somebody who grew up in the White House herself.
Absolutely. And so we need to let our kids be kids. So if you have a precocious kid, you want to widen their education. I'm not saying ignore their education.
No.
But instead, read them, teach them songs from different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Read them books from different cultures. Broaden their education. Teach them more history. Tell them more stories. Don't just push them ahead.
Okay.
But, you know, we need to talk about some other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you make those initial decisions? Mm-hmm. How do you decide what to do? First of all, you're just going to have to do some trying. You're going to have to try some programs. Some of them you're going to like. Some of them you're not going to like. It's okay to use one program in reading and a different one in math. It doesn't matter.
That's a great argument for being involved in a local support group where you can talk to other moms and say, hey, what did you use with your children? And I don't mean these kind of support groups that are all about one curriculum, but ones where you've got a diverse group of people using all different sorts of approaches and say, hey, you know, what did you use? And you can swap things out and try them.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, one thing to remember is you are not going to be homeschooling a kindergarten, first, second grader for 7 or 8 hours a day. The reason that those kids that age are in school all day is so that their mothers can work.
Unfortunately, that's true.
And you're right.
You're right that there's several things going on there, and it's not all about education. It's also about child care.
Typically, it takes you a couple hours a day to teach those levels.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. Now, what do you do the rest of the time? You bake cookies, and you do your housework, and you wrap them along with you, and you talk to them.
And they go out and they play in the treehouse, and they teach the dog to fetch.
But, so what do they need to do? First of all, you got to get your priorities straight, okay? Love and serve God.
Yep.
Devotions are the very best way to start the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't use any particular program a lot of times. Just we choose a book we're going to read. I read them a passage and we talk about it. I explain it to them.
And it may be a whole chapter if it's one of the historical books where it's a narrative. And it may be 3 verses from the Apostle Paul. Whatever seems like, you know, what I can explain in 5 or 6 minutes.
We do a hymn of the week. We have a Baptist catechism we use, catechism for boys and girls.
Right.
You know, we ought to put some of these links on the show page for these folks.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Because you can get this stuff free.
To the show page, by the way, if you're one of our iTunes listeners, thank you, bless you for that. But go to halandmelanie.com/radio.
And just scroll
And you can
down.
Find our show page there.
And So we want to start with devotion, services to God, singing with them, praying with them, reading the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, and then focus on foundations, mm-hmm. math and reading, phonics,
yep,
and math.
And math, we're talking about simple one-digit arithmetic.
Yeah, and that's the, you want to focus on their math and reading, and beyond that, Hal, you want to protect their love of learning. You know, mm-hmm. God made us to learn. They don't need a huge, you know, 400-page textbook to learn what they need to know about science or history in the first grade. They need to know the stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need you to tell them about, you know, Mr. Beaver and how he builds his lodge.
Right.
And they need you to read to them about George Washington and his, what he did in founding the country. You want to make, learn, use science and history and art and music and all those things to make learning exciting and fun for this age.
Well, the world is so big and our children are so new that everything is new. Everything is incredible.
I want to keep talking. We're out of time.
Well,
I guess we've got to go, but you can get more on this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a workshop you can download on our site.
Yep.
Called, I think, Homeschooling from the Beginning. It's about twice as long. It has a lot more information in it.
Yes.
You can get that there.
Okay, so go to raisingrealmen.com/shop. /shop and look down for workshops and you'll see, yes, that's one of our many workshops. Also workshops on things like homeschooling a house full of kids. How do you teach high school biology while you're still nursing a baby and things like that. Okay, so that's a useful thing. Look, we do appreciate you joining us. And if you like this kind of thing, if you like to hear this sort of message and you like the fact that it's free, why don't you help us keep it free? Why don't you help support this mission?
Yes.
You can become a supporter by joining us on Patreon, patreon.com/HalandMelanie, because we're all about making biblical principles, real life things in your family, and your donations and your support help us keep taking that message out and help us keep bringing it to you. Also, we want to encourage you to check out some of the other great podcasts here on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. And we hope that you'll join us again next week as we talk some more about taking biblical principles into the 21st century family. Till next week, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.